Hey, everybody. Aaron here. Before we get to the show, I would like to ask for a huge favor. Weird has made the list of podcasts on podcastawards.com, but we need nominations. So if you will go to podcastawards.com and register, it only takes a few seconds. You have to put your name and your email address, and then nominate Weird in two categories. We're listed under the Adam Curry category, which is the very first one you'll see. And we're also listed under comedy. If you will go and nominate us and then leave us a message on weirdnewspodcast.com, you can either leave us a voice message or you could just comment on the latest episode. Let us know that you have nominated us. We're going to put all the names of everybody that nominates us into a hat, and we're going to give away a Weird prize package, which consists of a t-shirt and a couple of stickers and anything else we can find to throw in there. Thanks very much. Again, it is podcastawards.com.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Hello, listener. Welcome to episode 94 of Weird. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Craig.
Coming to you live from the Lee Berry Studios.
As usual.
Just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And we're wanting to remind you today to make sure you see Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the documentary. It's all about tarantulas as
pets. I thought you were telling them to make sure that they get a spider to eat their face.
No, don't do that. Just watch the documentary, because it's available on Amazon Prime, Instant Watch, and Amazon.com. This documentary is about the history of pet tarantulas in America. Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the movie on Amazon. And we hope you check it out. It's really cool, too. They wrap it up with some of America's hardest moments, including, you know, the annexation of Mexico, the Wild West, rabies even, and the Civil War. The movie's rated PG by the BBFC, which is the same rating equivalent as the MPAA PG for American advertisers.
And no tarantulas were harmed.
Absolutely not.
At all.
Quite the opposite. Some were actually
thrilled. They harmed everyone else.
Good.
Not really, because that's what he tells you about. They don't hurt you, right?
Right. No, they don't.
Still don't want to cuddle one.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't want one walking across my face, eating it or not. Hey, have you checked out the new website yet?
Yes.
You know, you have not. www.weirdnewspodcast.com. You know, you can leave us comments there. You can actually leave us a voicemail there by just clicking a button and talking to your computer.
Why wouldn't I just call you?
You can download all of our episodes. You can do all kind of stuff. And you got our show notes, which are detailed show notes lately. And if nobody starts commenting, I'm going to stop doing that, because it does take some time.
You're getting a little angry.
I'm a little cranky is what it is.
You're an angry elf. Man under arrest, hands cop, get out of jail free Monopoly card. Didn't we have this before?
No, we didn't, but I wonder if it worked.
I think we had something like this before. They found one in the guy's wallet or something.
Yeah.
They did have something. The suspect headed directly to jail even without passing go or collecting $200. Dakota County Sheriff's Office in Minnesota.
Don't you know?
Said a man who was wanted on an outstanding warrant tried to avoid arrest using a get out of jail free Monopoly card.
What if they accepted it? Oh, okay.
I mean, legally, we sort of got to take it, boss.
We didn't know you had this.
Hey, I don't want to, overturn the apple cart here, but I think we're going to pretty much have to take this.
So go on out there and park your car.
In the car pack. I think we just went to a completely different state.
That's weird.
That's not even Minnesota.
Sure it is. Yeah.
Sure it is today. According to authorities, officers pulled over a car registered to someone wanted on a warrant and saw that a passenger was not wearing a seatbelt.
They took him to jail for that?
Sure. Deputies ran the passenger's ID and learned that he was wanted on a controlled substance warrant.
Aha.
When they searched his person, so he had somebody with him.
This is my person. They don't have a card, so they got to go to jail.
Officers found the ace up his sleeve. What was it? Was it an ace or was it a get out of...
What's he playing?
Was it a magic trick?
Is he playing poker or Monopoly?
It's a magic trick. The Monopoly card. The resourceful suspect told officers that he kept the board game card handy just in case.
Just in case he got arrested by a really stupid cop.
Yeah. Unfortunately for him, the police didn't accept his Monopoly card and took him to actual jail. His bail was set at $5,000 in real money, not Monopoly cash. Deputies shared the story on Facebook and said they give the man an A for effort.
Headline is, a man accused of using prosthetic leg to hit his wife, and he got arrested. Of course,
the leg got arrested?
Yeah, it did. And the rest of his body did, too.
What just happened in Sandusky?
It did. Sandusky, Ohio. An Ohio man accused of using one of his prosthetic legs to hit his wife has been arrested on a misdemeanor charge.
One of his prosthetic legs?
Sandusky police say Rona Wilson told police that her husband, 63-year-old Richard T. Wilson, you know Ricky T., don't you?
Ricky T.
Yeah. He became angry after officers responded Friday to a report of him being disorderly. She said her husband later threw one of his prosthetic legs at her, striking her head, and threw her to the ground. She told police that her wrist injuries came from trying to block Wilson from hitting her with his other leg. So this guy's swing. How's he walking around, I wonder?
You just can't make this stuff up.
Nah.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
No, that story on the next one.
Oh, that's okay.
Banff visitor walks right up to grizzly in apparent bid for close-up photo.
Get a zoom lens, you idiot.
Now, we have a friend we went to school with who lives out somewhere in the prairie lands.
Yeah.
I forget where he is, Wyoming or something. I can't where he is, but there's wild bison, all this other stuff, and he's always posting stuff of these people, just how stupid, just walking right up to him. There was that person a while back that put the buffalo, the baby, in the back of the car because they thought,
oh my
gosh. And these people are just, they don't understand these, just crazy.
It reminds me of that movie Grizzly Man.
Yeah.
You know, that guy
that
actually
didn't end well.
You know, what happened with him is he was lucky up until his death.
He was lucky the part where he got eaten.
He's out there trying to make friends with these grizzly.
Yeah, you don't make friends.
No.
You don't make friends with grizzly.
They don't need you.
They like to,
they
like,
eat you.
They like to crack your skull like a walnut.
You know, spiders will eat your face is kind of a play on words, but grizzlies will eat your face.
Grizzlies will crack your head open.
Like a walnut.
Yes, what I just said.
Yeah.
Why are you repeating everything I say?
Everything I say.
Don't. A Calgary area photographer says he could only shake his head. He probably should see a neurologist about that. In disbelief as he watched a Banff National Park visitor walk right up to a grizzly bear in an apparent bid to get a photo of the wild animal from just meters away. I'd say it was about 300 pounds. Pretty big bear.
Oh, I thought that was the photographer.
Yeah, he's a big photographer, too. Ray Blanchard said of the encounter, which he caught on video. Blanchard lives in Chestermere, but regularly makes his way out to the mountain parks to film wildlife. He said he set up his own camera and tripod about 70 meters away from the grizzly, which was munching on dandelions in a ditch along the Bow Valley Parkway on Sunday. Another 20 or 30 people had also gathered to look at the grizzly, several of them quite close to the bear, which was behind a bush.
I wonder if it was George or Barbara or...
I'm not really sure. It might have been Jenna.
Okay.
But either way, he was hiding behind a group of bushes. It was a photo op. Suddenly, one person walked straight towards the bush to get an up-close photo, stopping within just a few meters of the grizzly, he said. Blanchard said he sees tourists wander close to wildlife all the time, but this incident was especially risky in his view. Grizzlies can be very unpredictable, he said. I tell you what, if there'd been a baby grizzly bear right behind that bush,
good grief.
He'd been over with.
That's right.
In Florida, I went berserk.
So St. Petersburg, Florida is fighting a graffiti problem, Craig, but it's kind of a weird graffiti problem. They call it butt graffiti.
I got nothing.
You could call it a derriere dilemma, a keister caper, or even a rump riddle. Ah, yes. A sixth grade humor at its finest with endless comical posterior possibilities. At the end of the day, however, that's what's now being called butt graffiti, and it's ultimately illegal.
So on the book somewhere, there's actually a law that says you can't put graffiti on a buttock.
That's correct, yes. The design is popping up all over the place in St. Petersburg near... places near the old YMCA and the Morion Arts Center, or the Moron Arts Center. At least 20 cases have surfaced in the last several months. The silhouette of three cheeks, so to speak, is a featured signature of the anonymous artist. It's kind of like Banksy. Buttsky.
I was thinking butt graffiti was like spray painted on somebody's butt.
Nope, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
The bottom line is whoever is doing this is destroying property. I don't think so.
So wait.
It's not destroying
property. Hold on. Wait.
It's defacing property.
Back the truck up.
Okay.
So suddenly someone gets concerned over graffiti when it's something they don't like.
A cartoon butt.
But up until this point, it's not been an issue.
No. St. Peter.
Why are you concerned at all about the entire issue of graffiti?
Get rid of all of it, yeah. St. Petersburg Assistant Police Chief Jim Previtara said they are making up the beautiful downtown, or they're marking up the beautiful downtown area of St. Petersburg.
You're making up the story.
Indeed. St. Pete is a city known for its beautiful art and stunning murals. Many people are upset by this new graffiti involving a tush trend. They don't like the fact that the bold buttocks are suddenly everywhere. That's not art at all, said one woman. It's vandalism. Okay, I can agree with that. It's not destroying property.
It's not.
It's defacing property.
Well, it's costing
property.
A lot of money to fix it, though.
Okay. There should be consequences. You can't just take it upon yourself to do whatever you want to do, another man said. The assistant police chief describes it as an eyesore. It's causing the city to have to go around behind who this is and clean it up, he said, and we have to dedicate more resources to it. In the end, the mystery man or woman who is showcasing their backsides will most likely get a front row seat in a courtroom. It is illegal, Assistant Chief Pervetta said. In the end, everyone gets their day, whatever that means.
You know, it actually is destroying property. If it's on a wall, it's defacing, but there's a lot of times it's on billboards and stuff.
Okay, that is destroying property. Yeah.
That's destroying property.
Yeah, I agree.
So once you get off your little soapbox,
I know
you need it so people can see you.
I'm thinking more like on the side of a building where a good pressure washing will take care of it. And it is illegal. I'm not pro graffiti.
It's also my irritation with it is who are you that you just show up and think you can just do this?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm sorry.
That's for the law.
Why don't you buy a canvas and paint?
There you go. And maybe sell it.
Yeah, you piece of junk.
Hey, let's go back to another bear story.
I know. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Mom, Dad, there's a bear in my room.
Uh-oh.
Mom, there's a bear in my room. Mama. Daddy, Mama, Daddy, there's a bear in my room. When 11-year-old Zach Landis came running up the stairs late at night shouting, Mom, Dad, there's a bear in my room. His parents thought he'd either had a bad dream or had been pranked by his older sisters or he'd been into his dad's meth. Then they saw the smashed window and the claw marks.
Uh-oh.
Zach tells Alaska Dispatch News that he was awoken by a loud crash Monday night and saw the large black bear, very racist,
darn it,
black bear scratch at the walls before climbing out of the bedroom window it had smashed through.
Ugh.
The sound was almost like a cannon burst through and hit straight past my ear, Zach said. The bear, which Zach says smelled like a wet, muddy dog,
yum,
hit the foot of his bed on the way in, missing the boy by inches. Because, yeah, you get mud on him. Zach's parents called 911, and dispatchers at first found it hard to believe that the bear had crashed through a closed, locked window. The home is surrounded by woods on three sides, but the family says there were no previous signs of bears on the properties. Biologists say that while hungry bears occasionally enter homes if they smell food, it is extremely unusual for one to charge through a window. The family suspects the bear spotted its reflection in the glass and charged it. Zach has spent the last few nights sleeping in his parents' room upstairs, but he says he plans to return to his room because being in your parents' bedroom at 27 is really weird.
All right, here's a story, Craig.
That
I teased last episode about the Bigfoot encounter. Headline is Rob Lowe says he feared death during a Bigfoot encounter.
Wow.
Rob Lowe says he thought he was going to be killed during an encounter with a Bigfoot creature while filming his new A&E docuseries.
Okay.
How do you feel about Rob Lowe?
I like Rob.
I like him a lot. I think his
cable
hilarious.
Commercials were hysterical.
Oh, so
direct,
funny.
Was it DirecTV?
Yes, it was.
That was so funny.
So Lowe tells Entertainment Weekly the encounter took place in the Ozark Mountains, which is a stretch between Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma. Lowe says that he and his sons were camping there to investigate a Bigfoot-like creature known to locals as the Wood Ape during a shoot for the Lowe Files when something began to approach their camp. Rob Lowe says that he was lying on the ground thinking he was going to be killed. He adds that he's fully aware the story makes him sound like a crazy Hollywood kook. The Lowe Files follows the actor and sons Matthew and John Owen as they explore mysterious phenomena across the country.
Was it a bear?
No, it was Bigfoot. Didn't you hear him?
That's my point, though, is wouldn't you first thing if you're in the Ozarks, you're thinking it's a bear.
You know, Lori loves a Bigfoot story.
Darn it.
And she also is pretty fond of Rob Lowe.
Darn it.
Get a new button. It doesn't apply.
She's got one she wants to record, but you won't like it.
Yeah, I get final veto. Sunbathing woman outraged over lingering drone over her backyard.
Uh-oh, somebody's...
Where's your drone been lately, Aaron?
My drone is safely locked up at my house.
An Encinitas, California woman is sounding off after she's caught a lingering drone watching her sunbathe in her backyard. Well, you know who also does that?
Who?
Google.
That's true. Not at our house, they don't.
From the front?
Right.
From the top, they still see your house.
I don't know about that, Craig.
What's up with you guys in that? Anyway?
It's not me. It's my wife.
Around 2 p.m. local time last Saturday, Sherry Sorensen was catching some rays in a two-piece swimsuit when she heard buzzing. She looked up and saw a drone cruising over her neighbor's yard and then her yard. It stopped and was looking at me, and I was looking at it. It stayed there about 25 feet above me for at least a minute, said Sorensen. It'd be so awesome if Sorensen had a shotgun.
They make those nets now that you can fire out of a shotgun.
That'd be awesome.
Trap them.
Sorensen, and then it's yours.
Yes, but you got to find a remote.
It'd be mine. Sorensen said she yelled at it, and gave it the one-finger salute.
She said that's the weirdest bird I've ever seen.
She's in the military. She gave it some kind of a one-finger salute. It buzzed away and came back a few minutes later, but this time it didn't pause before flying off. I was angry because this drone does not have the right to view me in my own backyard.
Okay.
But this is a drone person that's one of the people giving it a bad name.
I disagree, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the drone was not looking at her. Who knows? This may be this person's first experience with drones, and it takes quite a while to get used to the flying of these things.
I will give you that, but it sounds like it flew right above her, looking right down.
That's
her,
possible.
And just sat there.
That's possible, but she does not know that.
Probably a teenager.
Well, could be. Who knows? Anyway, headline is drunken man falls off bar stool. You know what he does, Craig? He sues the tavern owners.
Oh, I thought he got back up again.
Because
he fell down.
A hemp-filled man is suing a tavern for injuries he suffered when he fell off a bar stool.
The name right there.
Yeah, hemp-filled.
Hemp-filled. Yeah.
David Wagman, age 57, filed a civil lawsuit last week in Westmoreland County claiming the owners of Ziggy's Hotel in Youngwood should pay him because he hurt his shoulder last year when he drunkenly toppled from his seat. In the lawsuit, Wagman contends that the bartenders continue to serve him alcohol, including shots of liquor, though he was visibly drunk during his four-hour visit to the bar. He was there for 4 hours. It must have been a game on or something. As a result of Ziggy's serving the plaintiff alcohol when he was visibly intoxicated, that he became so intoxicated he fell off the bar stool and injured his right shoulder. The wrong one is okay still. He just injured the right.
Yeah.
Requiring an operation on the shoulder with loss of use and limitations from the accident date to an indefinite period of time with some permanent disability to the right shoulder and arm, according to the lawsuit.
How is him falling off a bar stool their fault?
Well, what he's saying is he was so drunk they should have stopped serving him, but they kept serving him, and so he fell over.
So
I'm on your side.
Placing the blame.
Yeah, he's trying to blame somebody else for his...
He's never... Accountability's not in his dictionary.
Correct.
Wow. Can I move on to something worthwhile?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nothing like almost shooting someone to set your head right, Florida.
What?
Florida?
What in the world?
In Florida...
Nothing like almost shooting someone to set your head right. Florida sheriff's deputy fired after boasting online.
Well, he should be. What a jerk.
What a nut.
Nutcase.
A Florida sheriff's deputy is out of a job after a photo surfaced of him boasting about almost shooting someone to set his head right. The Snapchat photo, which was posted June 25th, shows Deputy Austin Callis... appropriately named.
Yeah.
23, sitting in a vehicle in plain clothes. The caption reads, "Nothing like almost shooting someone to set your head right, LOL.
Jeez Louise.
God, I gate people with knives."
Yeah,
it says, "I gate people."
Yeah, they address that in a minute.
Yeah, he gates people. It is assumed that gate was a typo of the word hate. The incident he was referring to was a domestic violence call involving a knife. On Thursday, Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Gualtieri fired Callis, a patrol deputy, saying that the photo raised doubts about Callis' mindset when he's out on the job.
Yeah.
"If you make that kind of statement, you're not going to be employed here as a deputy sheriff because it calls into question your thoughts, your motives, and certainly leaves the deputy and the agency in a very bad situation if something were to happen in the future," Gualtieri said.
Yeah.
Too right.
Bloody well right.
Because had Callus actually shot someone? Well, anyway, it turns out that the Good Samaritan who called Callus out was a friend of his who reported the photo along with several others that were taken while Callus was on duty in his cruiser as well as off duty. The woman told the sheriff's office that Callus's girlfriend had recently broken up with him and that he'd been drinking
on the job?
I guess so.
Wow.
Around the same time, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement analysis caught wind of the photo, which was making its rounds on social media. This is the kind of cop Pinellas County Sheriff's Office hires, wrote one Facebook user who shared the photo. Someone who wants to shoot someone just to get his head right?
I can understand that causing a problem. Here's another headline. Police officer pulls over a car, surprised to find an alien in the front seat.
That would be surprising.
Sometimes traffic stops could be out of this world. Police in Alpharetta, Georgia, stopped a car containing a rather otherworldly passenger on Sunday. The confused officer was quick to document the sighting and put it on Facebook in case it was beamed back up to its mothership. Apparently, the driver was pulled over for speeding and just so happened to be giving this alien a ride.
I suppose that's against the law now.
And, you know, it looks really real. I mean, that's a very good alien. According to WSB TV, the alien is a fake stuffed doll, and police say the driver, who was issued a verbal warning, did not mention as to why he had an out-of-this-world passenger, so to speak.
Probably so he could cheat the HOV
lane. That's exactly what I was thinking, because from behind, it just looks like a human with a huge head.
And if you're in the Nashville area, they don't care anyway.
No,
so.
they don't enforce it. Is this really just a stuffed doll, or is it proof of an extraterrestrial visitor trying to hitch an Uber back to his spaceship?
Shortly after Rob Lowe pulled up with a Bigfoot in his passenger side. Sheriff's deputy tells judge he committed identity theft to help send kids to college.
Oh, he was doing a good thing, Craig.
He was trying to do something good.
Yeah, helping the community.
A Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputy admitted Thursday that he used his access to law enforcement databases to steal dozens of people's identities. But he told a federal judge he did it to help the children of Palm Beach County, not to enrich himself.
Right.
Sheriff's deputy France Felisma.
Oh, France.
Yeah, France. 43.
Oui,
France Felisma here.
Hey, collé boom boom.
Pleaded guilty to federal identity theft and fraud charges, but he said he never received any of the money for his role in the scheme. He said he intended to use the proceeds to send high school students to college and help them get soccer training in Brazil.
There's other ways to raise money to send kids to college. There's also scholarships. You don't have to break the law.
Yeah, to steal identities, ruin other people's lives. That was my plan, to stop crime in Palm Beach County, he told U.S. District Judge Donald Middlebrooks. Felisma pleaded guilty to those charges in March. He later withdrew his plea and claimed he was not guilty. He faces a mandatory minimum of 2 years in prison, up to 12 years, and about $135,000 in restitution when he is sentenced August 1st. Nobody's going to believe this story.
No, it's ridiculous. And if you're a sheriff's deputy, you do not want to go to prison, especially if it's one where people you arrested are locked up in. Headline is, Chicago man plagued by calls meant for NBA star Jimmy Butler. Now, this story actually made me laugh out loud, Craig, and I think you'll see why. An Illinois man with a similar phone number to NBA player Jimmy Butler was flooded with phone calls meant for the Minnesota Timberwolves star. Like, people have his number?
Maybe.
Michael Byrne of Evanston was inundated with misguided calls after Butler, who formerly played for the Chicago Bulls, encouraged critics to contact him with his personal phone number during a press conference on Thursday. At first, I heard my phone going off with a bunch. When I checked it, I already had 37 missed calls, Byrne said. I got calls from Arkansas, Florida, New York City, and all over the country. I got voicemails and text messages all saying how much they supported me.
Weird.
I kind of want an NBA star to give my phone number out.
Just to get you feeling better about
yes.
yourself.
Byrne isn't an NBA fan, so he was forced to do some research to decipher the meaning of the 100 voicemails and more than 150 text messages of support he received.
It'd be like me getting it. I have no idea who this guy was.
Yeah. I don't follow sports, so I don't know who Jimmy Butler was, he said. I had to Google his name, and then I saw that he had shared his number. Byrne added that the majority of the calls and texts meant for Butler were positive, offering praise and inviting him out for activities. I would have gone. I'd have said, funny. I got your text right here, and showed him the phone. One guy wanted to play darts and have a drink together. He said, if I'm ever in Minneapolis, I guess I'll have a lot of offers. While somewhat amusing, Byrne said that he is between jobs and the massive surge of calls and texts has made it difficult for him to receive calls from potential employers.
Wow.
Time to change your phone number there, buddy.
Well, he's already got the applications out there.
That's true. I can't ignore the phone because I have to leave the phone open if a job calls, he said. I used to work in DVD and CD replication for student films and office films, so I'm still having to check my phone to see if I got any leads for that. Burns said he attempted to reach out to Butler, but like many fans, was unable to reach him. He called him. He called the number the guy gave him.
He kept getting his own voicemail.
I would just tell him that his fans need to dial more carefully, he said.
All right.
Okay.
This is what the show's all about.
Have you seen this photograph?
Weird, weird, weird. No, I have not. Pizzeria unveils Pizzakini, a $10,000 bikini made from real pizza.
What in the world? First of all, who's going to drop $10,000 on swimwear?
That's going to last for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, especially if I'm around.
You're just going to eat all the pizza?
Yes.
I was thinking sunlight.
No, it's the most expensive pizza you'll ever eat.
You get it and like eat a $10,000 pizza before you even got home. A New Jersey-based pizza chain is celebrating the upcoming National Bikini Day by offering a
$10,000. Wait a minute. National Bikini Day.
They make up days for everything.
What in the world?
They've got days for everything.
Good Lord, man. I'm sorry I threw you off there. Why do we have to have a National Bikini Day?
Well, they're offering a $10,000 pizza bikini made from real pizza. That's why they're having it.
Okay. Did they invent it? I wonder.
But why do we have any of these days?
Hallmark invents most of them. They're the one that started
this thing.
There's
a day for everything.
There really is. There's like Little Sister with Red Hair Day.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Is there?
No. I'm sure there is.
Via? Italian Kitchen, a pizzeria chain founded in New York and based out of Morristown, New Jersey, announced customers willing to shell out $10,000 can get a custom fitted pizzakini for one day, custom fitted.
Custom fitted.
For one day on July 5th. The restaurant said it teamed with New York food stylist Jesse Bearden to craft a bikini from dough, which is braided at the top and waistband to keep it in place, as well as 100% whole milk mozzarella cheese, tomato sauce, and pepperonis. Each of Villa Italian Kitchen pizzakinis are fully customizable, from choice to toppings like pepperoni, sausage, peppers, and onions, and more, to its personalized fitting to the body type of each customer.
I don't know that I want to see the body type of a pizzakini customer.
I don't think so. Each one-use bikini cost $10,000. The cost of the pizzakini includes an initial consultation and measurement session, creation of the customized suit, including toppings preferences, and final fittings. Those interested in placing an order for the most delicious swimwear, I'm telling you, it's the most delicious swimwear the earth can give you.
Guaranteed.
Can send a direct message to Villa's Italian Kitchen's Facebook page, the Italian Kitchen said. We look forward to providing this unique style with the pizza and bikini-loving people. We're talking pizza here, people.
And bikinis.
Loving public this summer. We are confident it will be a hit, said Mimi Wunderlich.
Really?
Director of Communication and Digital Marketing Strategy for Villa Tank.
And you know the sad thing? I bet they sell at least one of these.
To somebody with stupid money.
Somebody is going to buy a pizzakini, and I don't want to see them, and I don't want to see the bikini. Headline is, Texas highway crash releases 30 venomous snakes and a baby alligator.
What did one baby alligator do wrong?
He's in the crash. Authorities in Texas said a van crashed on a highway in the San Antonio area and released 30 snakes, a baby alligator, and a turtle.
A tortoise.
He's a tortoise. The Bexar County Sheriff's Office said the van blew a tire at about 12:30 p.m. Thursday on Interstate 35 near Shepherd Road, causing it to roll over into the access road in the southwest part of the county.
Whatever.
Yeah. The Somerset Volunteer Fire Department said the animals released in the crash include venomous rattlesnakes.
Well, they're already out in the wild anyway.
Copperhead snakes.
Yeah, they're out in the wild.
Large diamondback rattlesnake.
Out there already.
And water moccasins.
Whoa. Are those water resistant?
I thought water moccasins and copperheads were the same thing. Just if they're in water, they're copperheads. And on land, they're water moccasins.
I thought they were just boots that could repel water.
Water moccasins.
Yeah, I thought that water moccasins and cottonmouths were the same thing, though.
They are, I think. Little animal.
They probably aren't.
I think they are.
Some snake freak will let us know that.
Nobody ever contacts us.
That's true.
Little Animal Control and Texas Game Warden officials responded to the scene to recapture the escaped reptiles.
Let them go.
No, I don't want those anywhere near me.
They're already out in the wild.
Not that many of them.
It wasn't like
they just added to it.
It wasn't like a black mambo got loose or you know, like a cobra.
What were they doing? I hope it explains further on why this guy was traveling. The public information officer for Bexar County Emergency Services District 5 tweeted photos from the scene showing responders recapturing the snakes. The most recent update said 23 of the snakes had been recaptured, with one snake dead and the alligator still on the loose. How you feel now, Craig Underhill? What about the alligator?
Alligator won't make it in Texas.
The driver of the van and the 9-year-old passenger were taken to San Antonio.
They can probably search all the boot shops for the alligator.
San Antonio. Military Medical Center directors. Details of the injuries were not released. So somebody's traveling down the road with a 30 poisonous snakes, an alligator, and a turtle, and a 9-year-old.
Sounds like a joke.
It does. The animals in the vehicle involved involved in the crash are privately owned. And why that's important, I have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, no, and it's weird, isn't it?
Hey,
yeah.
Time for the Mark Patch Top 10.
Man, we had some good stories, but we didn't have many of them this episode. Did you notice that?
Well, you know, sometimes you just work with what the world gives you.
I'm not going to make up news. If the weirdness is out there, I'll take what I can
and
get.
We have comfort knowing that even if we struggle 1 week, Florida's going to carry us.
Florida. We can always rely on Florida.
All right, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Top 10 series canceled after one episode.
Now, I'm doubting I know any of these, because if it was only one episode, chances are I wasn't interested to start with, or nobody else was. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but that's why they're on the top 10 list.
Okay, let's check them out.
Top 10 television series canceled after one episode. Number 10.
Yep.
South of Sunset.
Never heard of it.
CBS private detective show starring Glenn Frey of the rock band Eagles.
You know, he was a really good actor.
Yeah, he was on like Miami. I know he was on Miami Vice.
Yeah. And so,
despite being heavily promoted during the World Series, the show was canned not only because of bad ratings, but because news coverage of wildfires in Malibu had preempted it on much of the West Coast. Although KCBS showed the pilot on October 30th at 11:30 p.m., the remaining five episodes aired on VH1 a year later.
You know, that's not fair. I think they should have given that show another shot. I mean, they couldn't.
Life is not fair.
Okay. Aaron. Number 9, Comedians Unleashed. And this was from October the 8th, 2002. And I think stand-up comedy was still a big hit in 2000. Remember, yeah. there was 10 years.
Where it was back when it was still funny.
Yeah. An attempt by Animal Planet to mimic Comedy Central stand-up comedy shows, but with animal-themed jokes. Oh, my gosh.
It's gonna be bad.
The episode was rerun a few times before being removed from the programming lineup. This is not to be confused with the 2006 syndicated series Comics Unleashed, hosted by Byron Allen.
Number 8, The Will. This sounds so America.
That sounds promising.
CBS reality show in which family members, this is number 8, by the way, in which family members and friends competed to be named the beneficiary of a will.
This is a reality show, yeah. Too. This isn't like made up.
The series eventually aired in its entirety on Fox Reality Channel and aired in New Zealand as well. But here's the thing. So somebody dies. We've lost a loved one.
Yes.
And now we're capitalizing.
Uncle Joe died. Y'all bring the cameras in. Let's get started.
Oh, my gosh.
Number 7, Quarter Life. This is from February 26, 2008. NBC broadcast version of the popular MySpace series. I didn't know there was such a thing. With an intent to air on Sunday nights following its debut. But following the dismal reception of the premiere episode, the other five episodes were aired in a marathon on NBC Universal.
Not much of a marathon.
Sibling channel Bravo on March 9th.
Number 6, Osbourne's Reloaded.
Oh, now.
This is from 2009.
I liked the Osbournes.
Yeah, it was fun to watch Ozzy just kind of stumble around. Fox variety show hosted by the Osbournes, Ozzy, Sharon, Jack, and Kelly. The remaining five episodes were immediately shelved because of a combination of bad reviews and several Fox affiliates, including the entire Raycom and local TV LLC chain stations, either airing the program in an early morning time slot or not at all because of content concerns. Was this like after the show? Like, is Osbourne's Reload was the second show?
Yes. And this one, their other daughter was also in, but she's not mentioned here. You remember she opted out of the first version because she didn't want to be famous or something. Number 5, Ford Nation. I have got to track this down. Do you remember Rob Ford? Let me read about it first. A talk show hosted by Mayor Rob Ford of Toronto and his brother, City Councilor Doug Ford, on Sun News Network in Canada, initially indicated as being a weekly program airing Monday nights. The four brothers had been in the news because of an ongoing scandal involving a video showing the mayor smoking crack cocaine. Despite garnering record ratings for the fledgling news opinion channel, the show was nonetheless canceled after a single episode, reportedly because of unexpectedly high production costs. The one-hour program is reported to have taken 5 hours to record and an additional 8 hours to edit. And advertiser concerns about being associated with the controversial politicians. Do you remember? Did you ever see Rob Ford?
I don't remember.
Man, this guy, he was like, I mean, it's an instance of truth being stranger than fiction, because he, well, not only remained the mayor of Toronto after this footage leaked, but he was just a wild man. I mean, it was some of the stuff he did, getting in fights during meetings and things. It was just crazy. And his brother fed into it.
Don't remember him.
Yeah.
Number four, top 10 television series canceled after one episode, Mesmerized.
This one's kind of recent.
This is from 2015. An Australian hypnosis show helmed by British hypnotist Peter Powers. That name sounds like he was in a comic book.
Hey, Peter Powers.
Broadcast on the Seven Network was dropped after one episode, which featured a man marrying an alpaca as its centerpiece. Following dismal ratings, five produced episodes remain unaired.
How does something like that go wrong? I mean, I'd see that.
I mean, he married an alpaca.
Number three, Who's Your Daddy? From January 3rd, 2005. Fox reality series that involved an adopted woman trying to identify her biological father amongst a group of imposters. I'd watch that, too.
Okay.
The show attracted protests from adoptive families and adoption rights groups before airing. This episode aired as a special, not a series premiere, and as such, the series can be said to have been canceled before airing an episode.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Number two, from 2007, Anchorwoman.
Was that a spinoff of Anchorman, I guess?
I don't know. Fox comedy reality series about Lauren Jones, a model who became a television news anchor. The show was canceled on August 23rd because of disappointing. I'm having a hard time reading about it because it's so boring.
It is boring. I'm about to fall asleep.
Yeah, let's just go on. Number one.
Number one
is my favorite.
This is amazing. Number one, Heil, Honey, I'm Home. It was a comedy on a British satellite channel, Galaxy, that spoofed American sitcoms of the 1950s and 60s by featuring caricatures of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun, who lived in matrimonial bliss until they became neighbors to a Jewish couple. In unseen episodes, the Hitlers plot to murder their Jewish neighbors. That's offensive. It's
so offensive and inappropriate, but funny to read about.
I'd like to see an episode or two of it. Anyway, you know, just to experience.
It's probably out there on the interwebs.
Hey, thank you for listening to Weird.
Yeah.
Please check out our website at www.weirdnewspodcast.com. And don't forget to check out, Craig, Spiders Will Eat Your Face Off.
Yes.
Spiders Will Eat Your Face, the documentary, available on Amazon.com, Amazon Prime. It's really good.